Do God's faithful people ever tire from doing good? Do God's people ever grow weary? Well, apparently so, because the Apostle Paul wrote to churches in Galatia with these words, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So even the Apostle Paul wrote this encouragement to those who apparently were growing weary in doing good, to encourage them not to quit. Are you tired? Listen to what one tired comedian wrote. "The population of this country is 220 million. 84 million are over 60 years of age, which leaves 136 million to do the work. People under 20 years of age total 95 million, which leaves 41 million to do the work. There are 22 million who are employed by the government, which leaves 19 million to do the work." No offense to any of these. 4 million are in the armed forces, which leaves 15 million to do the work. Deduct 14,800,000, the number in state and city offices, leaving 200,000 to do the work. There are 188,000 in hospitals, insane asylums, etc. That leaves 12,000 people to do the work. Now, it may interest you to know that there are 11,998 people in jail. So that leaves just two people to carry the load. That's you and me, brother. And I'm getting tired of doing everything myself. Weariness and well-doing. Some may call it compassion fatigue. Others may call it burnout. But it can happen even to a faithful disciple of Jesus. Even his disciples can grow weary. "Let us not lose heart in doing good," one translation gives in Galatians 6, verse 9. Apparently the apostle realized that it is possible for the heart to go out of our service and perhaps even tempt some to give up and quit. I want to pose at least two questions to you tonight. Number one, who gets weary of well-doing? And then secondly, what are some things we need to remember? Who gets weary of well-doing? Number one, any worker in the Lord's kingdom can grow weary. This passage wasn't addressed to a select few, but it went out to multiple churches in Galatia. It could include any Christian servant. It would include ministers. It would include Bible school teachers. It would include missionaries. It would include anyone who is active in serving our Lord. So it happens to all kinds of people that are concerned that the work of the Lord is done. It can be parents that grow weary. Ephesians 6:4, addressed to fathers, says, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And that requires work. And parents can grow weary. I love what I read about a woman who telephoned a friend and asked how she was feeling. And her friend responded, "Terrible. My head's splitting, my back and legs are killing me, the house is a mess, the kids are driving me crazy." Very sympathetically, the caller said, "Well, listen, go and lie down. I'll come right over and cook lunch for you, clean up the mess, and take care of the children while you rest." "By the way," the caller asked, "how is Sam?" "Sam?" the complaining housewife responded. "I have no husband named Sam." "My heavens," exclaimed the caller, "I must have dialed the wrong number." Well, there was a long pause, followed by the question, "Well, are you still coming over?" Parents get weary. Parents get weary. Those who have served a long time get weary. I think of the Apostle Paul in what was probably his last letter, 2 Timothy. "The time of my departure has come. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And you look at his words in the backdrop of his life, and you see one who has given his life, given years of his life in service to God, and those who have done so, who have served for a long time faithfully, they get tired. Those who have seen few results are also susceptible to feeling the weariness of well-doing. Where we live in a result-oriented society. When we go fishing, we like to show the results on the stringer. When we hunt, we save the antlers or even the heads. When we golf, we may keep the scorecards if they're good enough. But service to the Lord isn't always that easy to measure. It can happen that when we grow weary thinking that non-visible results mean no results. But remember 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In the work of the church, we may not see the fruit that is born from the seeds that we plant, but we need to allow God to give the increase in His time. But those who don't see the visible results immediately can grow weary. Those affected by the apathy, whether it's real or where it appears that others are apathetic concerning the work of the church, those affected by that apathy are candidates for weariness. Now Jesus, in His divine way, in His perfect way, pointed out the apathy and the lack of love of one church. Revelation 2, verse 4, Nevertheless, Jesus says, I have this against you. You have left your first love. One who did quit because of the apathy that he saw wrote these words, I found lots of weaknesses in the American church, and they got to me. Interest in missions, only casual. A spirit of sacrifice? Not much. A willingness to serve? Only if convenient. A burden for a lost world? Not really. How could I do anything but become cynical? Unfortunately, I did. Cynicism is a danger to those who are purely that concerned, that have grown apathetic. Yes. Those who experience temporary failures can grow weary. What about Elijah? Even after his victory on Mount Carmel, we find in the very next chapter, 1 Kings 19, he's sitting under a broom or a juniper tree. He's melted in discouragement. But God reminded him of His presence and of His power. But yet, here we see Elijah. The victor on Mount Carmel was discouraged and had grown weary very soon after. There are those who are rejected by others that sometimes grow weary and want to quit. Rejection hurts. You spend a lot of time and energy in trying to reach someone and they reject your efforts. And the temptation to say, never again will I put that much time and energy into building a relationship, trying to help them to be the kind of people that God wants them to be. Samuel could have easily had this attitude. As he was striving to be the prophet of God, the Israelites rejected him because they wanted to be like the nations around them. They wanted a king. But God told him, they haven't rejected you. They have rejected me. But when we're rejected by others, that causes us to grow weary and even desire to quit. Those who are lonely can become weary. Back to Elijah again. As he was sitting under that juniper tree, he felt all alone, didn't he? In fact, he said, I've been very zealous. When the Lord asked him what he was doing there, he says, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. The sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. I'm the only one striving to serve you. He felt alone. God reminded him he wasn't alone. But yet in feeling that loneliness, he had grown very weary. The criticized can become weary. Personal criticism always hurts. At times it's good for us. Sometimes it is unmerited and wrong. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, listen to what Jesus says. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets before you. Jesus said there's going to be times when people say things against you falsely. Rejoice and be glad, because it puts you in good company. But criticism, constant criticism, can cause us to grow weary. I read that in 1923, Russian-born engineer Vladimir Zvorkin worked on his latest invention. He was told to spend his time on something more useful. What was he working on? And what did he continue to work on? Well, in 1929, he obtained his first patent for his invention, the color television. Among his many achievements, he also helped perfect the electron microscope and other devices that greatly advanced medical and biological research. He retired as director of electronic research for RCA in 1954, and in 1966 was awarded the National Medal of Science. Yet criticism marked almost all the milestones of his path. When you're striving to do what's right, there's going to be criticism. One person said it this way: where there's light, there are bugs. Where there's light, there are bugs. Who else gets weary? Those who get caught up in comparisons set themselves up for growing weary. Galatians 6:5 tells us each one shall bear his own load. Romans 14:12. Each of us shall give account of himself to God. We're not going to be judged based upon what others have done, but what we have done with the talents and with all the resources that God has blessed us with. That's what we're going to be judged upon. The best that you can do, the best that I can do, and always by His grace. So if we get caught up in comparisons, well, I'm not able to do what he is doing or she is doing, we're setting ourselves up for weariness. Those who experience poor health often grow weary. As we grow older, we have to adjust to ailments that limit our capacity for being involved and working in various capacities. We have to adjust our own expectations of ourselves. Perhaps this is why Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. But then finally, those who grow weary are those who are working hard. Those who are working hard. Patsy Claremont told of a time when her 7-year-old, she sent him off to school one day. A little bit later, there was a knock on the door, and it was her son that had come back. And she asked, Jason, what are you doing here? Jason responded, 7-year-old now, I've quit school. Well, why? Why did you quit school? Jason replied, it was too long, too hard, and it was too boring. Patsy Claremont responded, Jason, you've just described life. Get back on that bus. There are going to be some times in our lives where it's difficult, it's hard, even may grow boring. But it's something that we know that must be done. We get tired when we work hard. Well, what's the solution? What's the solution to those who have grown weary? I want to suggest a few things. Number one, we need to rest. We need to rest. Even the apostles came to Jesus and all excited about the things that had been accomplished. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there are many coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat." Mark 6:31. Rest a while. We have to allow our intellect and even our bodies to regain their strength and clarity. Rest. Recharge. 1 Peter 2 verse 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." We recharge by focusing on our personal relationship with God and studying His Word and allowing it to influence our lives, our thinking, our actions. And praying to Him, that's the way we recharge and regain strength. We need to refocus. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We need to take a look at our priorities. Make sure they're what God wants them to be. And that helps us renew our strength and our zeal for doing the Lord's work. But there's some things I would ask you to remember as you do the Lord's work. Always remember that the Lord is with you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Remember that He is present with you. Remember that your labor is not in vain. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. But I want you to remember this as well. There is a good kind of tired. There is a good kind of weariness. Let me describe that kind of tired for you this evening. It's a good kind of tired when your work has been done to the glory of God. That's a good kind of tired. Let your good works be seen before men. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When by your works God has been glorified and you're actually tired, that's a good kind of tired, because God has received the glory for your efforts. It's a good kind of tired when it's a team effort. When it's a team effort. I like the King James rendering of 1 Corinthians 3:9. We are laborers together with God. We're laborers. There's work. We're laborers with God, but we're laborers together with God. I always remember what Dad has related from time to time. One of the things he dreaded and didn't really enjoy too much was when his dad, my papa, would say, "Glenn, go out and hoe the turn row." The turn row, where the tractors turn, where they plant cotton perhaps, and just to grow what can, but it doesn't grow well, and a lot of weeds seem to grow in that area. Dad didn't look forward to that. But his perception of it changed, as he says, when his dad would say, "Let's go hoe the turn row." That made it more bearable for him. It's a good kind of tired when we're working together and serving God. It's a good kind of tired when what we do for Christ. Not for our own personal admiration, but when we work for the cause of Christ, it's a good kind of tired. Colossians chapter 3 says, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Always remember, even when you're growing weary and doing good, it's a good kind of tired when you're doing it for Christ. So listen again to the words of the Apostle Paul. "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if we do not lose heart, if we do not faint, if we do not give up. Perhaps tonight there is a weariness from which we suffer, for which Christ died, so that we don't have to be weary from carrying this burden anymore. And that's the burden of sin and of guilt of sin. Come to me, all you who are labor, he says. And that's his invitation tonight. If you're weary from choosing your own way and realize that that is not the correct way and need to come to Christ tonight in obedience to his will, perhaps there's one or more that need to be baptized into Christ to become his children so that your sins can be washed away. Perhaps there's others who have grown weary and perhaps have quit or gone into other directions that need to refocus. Perhaps need the prayers of our brothers and sisters in Christ. If that be the case, if you need to respond, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?